helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart, National Director of Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest with me is Dr. Al Weir. Al, welcome.
It's great to be here, Bill.
Well, we're going to talk a bit about your book called Decisions, 12 Steps to Land You on God's Pathway. But before we dive in and unpack that a bit, tell us a little bit about yourself. Al, I know you're in Memphis. Tell us about your career, family.
Well, I'm presently a hematologist and oncologist in a mixture of clinical and academic practice here in Memphis. I'm married with three kids and six grandkids. Love being a doctor, as I have been spending the last few decades being one. I've had various pathways that I followed. Early in life, my family and I spent time in Nigeria as, with the International Mission Board. Mm-hmm. Later, I entered private practice. Later, joined CMDA at the national level. Then I came back to more academic level with where I am now. I have done various things, but always loved the Lord and always loved my family and always loved CMDA.
I know you've had quite a tremendous career and continue to do so. And you've written books, several books, this being one of them, one of your latest books, Decisions. A lot in here that we're going to talk about. But before we dive in, Al, tell us, why were you motivated to write a book such as this?
Well, when I was many years ago, 2005 to 8, I was actually in your position at CMDA. I didn't do it nearly well as you do. But as I travel the country and talk to students and residents and doctors, the one question that kept coming up is, how do I know what God wants me to do? There have been many different situations, but it was always the same foundational question. How do I know what God wants me to do? And then one day I was in Albania talking to actually Albanian medical students and was just giving a off-the-cuff talk and had a little index card. And that same question, I just jotted down a few answers to that question, realized this is important enough that we need to look at it more deeply, and so I did, and there came the book, yeah.
Well, you start off by kind of teeing up this discussion on finding God's will by mentioning that there are kind of two ways that Christ followers kind of live their decision-making lives. Let's start there. Unpack that. What are those two ways?
Yeah, again, I'm speaking mainly about myself, but realize as I look at the own way I've lived my life and made decisions that it pretty much resonates with many of the Christians I see as well. And what I've seen is that we, as followers of Christ, love Him and we know His Word and we think about it, but we don't really take hold of it like we should in decision making. The verse, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll direct your paths. We sort of flip that. We sort of trust our understanding, and if we have a problem, we lean on God. Mm-hmm. And so Christians, as we walk through life, again, talking about myself, there are really two ways to think about it. One is, as much of my life has been, we walk through life and we love God and we know His Word and but we do what we think we ought to do and then put a little God into the decision. Whereas what God really wants us to do is deliberately seek Him throughout our lives. Mm-hmm. And then the other issues of decision making, such as the pros and cons and the understanding of the business model, comes in secondary to first seeking God and finding what He wants us to do.
Mm. Yeah, everything's an overflow. Or an outflow of abiding with Him, seeking Him, wanting to walk with
sure.
Him. Yeah, exactly. Well, you outlined 12 steps that we're not, again, going to be able to touch on all of them, but maybe just highlighting a couple that will kind of, again, set the table about, you know, what you're discussing in this book in terms of finding God's will. The first one, let's just start step one. I think we have to start there. It's foundational. Wanting God's will. That's where we start. Wanting God's will. And you say this, and I'm going to have you comment on this, which I think is a fascinating quote. You say that 99% of finding God's will is wanting God's will. Unpack that.
Well, I absolutely believe that. I'm not sure whether I came up with it or somebody told me that, but I have grabbed hold of it as an anchor for my life in decision making. It's very biblical. Mm. God wants our hearts more than he wants anything else. Mm. I mean, he can do what he needs to do with or without our bodies, but he wants our hearts really badly. And in Jeremiah, it says, if you seek me, you will find me where? If you seek me with your whole heart. Yeah. Says the same thing in Deuteronomy. The trust in the Lord with all your heart, again, and he will direct your paths. Mm-hmm. There's something about God wanting us to love him and seek him, mm-hmm, and follow, mm-hmm, him, that leads us into a direction that aligns with his will. Francois Fenelon, a bishop in the 17th century, said it this way. He says, the only thing that lies within our power is the direction of our will. Mm. What he's saying is that really it's our job to want God's will with all our heart. And if we do that, it's his job to get us where he wants us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's been my experience. I just believe that strongly from 72 years of loving him.
No, I wouldn't disagree with you at all. I wonder if this dovetails into it is, with that wanting God's will, it's also a willingness to be obedient, that we are going to be obedient to what he shows. I think so often people think, well, I want God to show me what he wants from me, and then I'll be judge over that. I'll decide whether or not I'll obey or not. I think God wants us in a posture of obedience, and I believe then, you know, him showing us his will is more apt to follow rather than us taking this posture that, oh, we'll determine, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. One of the steps, one of the 12 steps actually is to obey.
Yeah.
There are many, many different commentators and speakers and writers I've talked to talk about the issue of Oswald Chambers, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, only he who sees obeys, but only he who obeys sees. Mm. Oswald Chambers says the same kind of thing. There are all kinds of things that we will never see about God's will unless we obey the step that he's given us to follow. And so taking the first step and looking around and knowing what God wants us to do at the moment really leads to understanding of what his pathway is for us to follow.
Okay.
And we miss it if we don't obey.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, let's skip to step 4. You mentioned follow his word. How does God's word help us in determining his will?
Well, of course, God's word is supposed to be the guiding force of our life. Mm-hmm. But it helps us in so many ways. Number one, it provides a target for our lives. And we can talk more about targets. They're really important. But it provides where are we headed? What are we wanting about life? Number two, it provides boundaries within which he gives us freedom to move. Mm-hmm. And those boundaries protect us from moving off into areas that will be against his will. It provides examples of character to change who we are such that we can actually hear his will and have the courage to follow it. And his very presence is in God's will. It's a living word. And all of us have had experience, I think, where we've been in a decision-making position and don't know what to do. And we open the Bible and there it is right there.
Right.
I think it's very clear that God's word. In fact, David Platt, who was the president of IMB and is now a pastor in Washington, D.C., he said it's something like this. I'll have to paraphrase it. But he says that if we're seeking God's will, we ought to try the read your Bible way, pathway of finding God's will. Because most all of our decisions are going to be found within biblical living.
Well, that's right. I mean, sometimes we think, you know, what's God's will for my life? Well, most of what you'll need in terms of direction is clearly, explicitly spelled out. What I think people are often wrestling with and searching for is that unique, specific will as it relates to, you know, what residency should I pursue or you know, these very specific things. But, I mean, a lot of what we need to know for life and godliness is found in the Scriptures.
Oh, absolutely. And it's got to be foundational.
Yeah.
In fact, the older I get, the more I'm memorizing his scripture such that it actually lives within me. And then decisions can be more reflex than they are hard thinking. And the bottom line is if we really abide with him and know his will and know his word and want his will, then we're going to end up on his will. Mm-hmm. We're going to end up on his pathway. And one more point about this, about the title of the book clearly says not ways to know his will, but ways to step into his pathway. Mm. It is far more important that we step into the pathway of his will than we know his will. And some of us get so frustrated because we can't clearly understand it or clearly hear it. Mm. But if we follow his word, abide in him, want his will, then we will step on his pathway. Yeah.
Mm. Excellent. You did mention something about, and maybe we should get back to it, about this idea of setting up targets. You spent some time with that. Can you unpack that some?
Sure can. Ken Jones, whom you know from California, introduced this idea to me. He says there are two ways of hitting a target. Hmm. One is to take your bow and aim carefully, and you shoot. There's a bullseye on the wall, and you shoot for it, and you hit it.
Right.
The other way, put the arrow in and then draw the circles around it.
Right.
Shooting for a given target brings in the whole principle of inertia, really, is the way I think of it. If we have long-term targets that we are definitely going for, like I want to have a Christian home and raise Christian children, or I want to save money and do missions later on in my career, if you have targets like that, then the inertia of shooting for those targets keep you from swinging off into pathways that are different from God's will.
Yeah. It's almost like you're talking about, it's like providing guardrails in a way.
The motion towards those will. Say, if I want to have a godly family and godly children, mm-hmm. and that's my long-term target and I'm shooting for that, mm-hmm. then the attractive person at the office that appeals to me, I can't go in that direction because I'm moving mm-hmm. in the direction. I've already made that decision about the attractive person in my office because it doesn't fit within the target that I'm shooting for. And so deciding where you want to be, where when you face God and at the end of your life and what long-term goals you want are so important in preventing us from swerving into decisions that aren't his will.
Well, again, so much we could discuss. We're going to end on this last one, step five. Seeking wise counsel. How do we find wise counsel? How do we know if it's wise? I mean, you had Job's friends. Job had his friends.
Right. Well, let me briefly tell a story, then I'll tell you what okay. I think about it. This really came true for me when my wife and I were headed for the mission field in Nigeria. Not there yet, just getting there. And my wife became pregnant, became deathly ill. So ill that I thought we might lose her. So we did all the right medical things, and finally we were advised that we should abort our child by a wise, good, caring physician. So we were in the hospital about to do that, knowing that it would destroy all my long-term targets. And the night before the planned abortion, my father walked in the room. He's a Christian physician, and he said to me, he says, "You know, after I tell you this, you may not think of me the way you thought of me before, but what you're doing is wrong. You're killing a child." And he left the room, and then we fell into each other's arms and swore we'd keep our baby, and that baby's now the mother of four of our grandchildren. The point is that I had counsel from experts, and I had counsel from a godly physician, and the one that counted was actually my father. How do you decide who's good counsel? Mm. Well, number one, you do want people that are knowledgeable, people that are expert in the decisions you have to make. But if they don't commit to our worldview and our understanding of the truth of life, if they don't know that life is eternal and that God is present and that our life is missional, then they can't possibly fit their knowledge of life into our decision-making process in a helpful way. Mm. I think, therefore, if we're seeking counsel, we look for experts. We look to someone who can understand, and they don't have to be Christian, although that's much better, but someone who can understand and accept that our life goals are valid. And then we seek more than one. We have accountability partners, and we work together and pray together in the fellowship of the church, and all of that counsel is what I'm talking about, not just a single expert that would have lost me my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. It's a powerful story. Well, that still leaves a couple of these steps unaddressed, and I would encourage those who are listening or watching to pick up a copy. It's right on our CMDA online bookstore, and we make that available. And in fact, we're giving this as a copy to new leaders that are starting new CMDA chapters. So this is a book we really want to get into as many student hands as possible. Kind of as we're wrapping our time up and our conversation, Al, is there anything you would want to say? Mostly students, residents are going to be watching or listening to this conversation. Anything you'd want to offer them in terms of encouragement in their pursuit of God and His will?
The word that has come to me more and more as I've lived the life with Christ is intentionality. That we tend to, because we live within the culture of the world, we tend to drift with the culture of the world. Mm-hmm. But being very intentional about reading God's word, fellowshipping with believers, abiding with Christ, listening hard in the events around us and the people around us. I've learned more about Christ by listening to my patients than just about anywhere else in the world, but listening and when I go into a room and say, God, show me what you need me to know in this room, and being very intentional about, God, I am seeking your will. My life is missional. It's about you. It's not about me. And then reflex decisions often are just exactly what you want us to do. Mm-hmm. And then the important thing that all is grace, that if we abide in Christ, mm-hmm. if we trust him, if we want his will with all our heart, and we make a wrong decision, then God's got that. We have to trust him that if we make a wrong decision, he'll turn us back if we are seeking his will. And it's all grace. The grace of the cross is lives with us. It's not just to get us to heaven.
Well, sometimes I've had some tough situations in my life, and I could have thought they were just knucklehead decisions I made, and maybe they were, but there was also a redemptive piece where God was using those crucibles to form and fashion me into the person he needed me to be on the other side of that.
Absolutely.
Issue, yeah.
I totally agree with you.
Well, this is great conversation, Al. Thank you so much for, again, all you do. I know you also write, it's a weekly devotional for CMDA, is that right?
Right, yeah.
And that's available. We'll put links in the show notes to kind of outline some of these resources that they can have access to. But again, thank you, Dr. Weir, for, again, being a part of, again, the lives of the students and this ministry of CMDA and again, the investment that you've made over the years. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast as well.
Well, thank you for being who you are and all that you do, Bill.
All right.
All for Jesus.
Amen. Before we conclude our podcast, I'd like to share a couple of things that you need to know. First of all, mark your calendar. May 2nd to the 5th, 2024, is CMDA's National Convention in the beautiful mountains of Asheville, North Carolina. Simply go to cmdstudentlife.org/NACCON to learn more about how to register and information on student scholarships, because we want to make sure that there's nothing that's going to hinder you from joining us this coming national convention, May 2nd to the 5th, in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Also, don't forget, if you want to find the Pulse podcast via our video version, you can go to our YouTube channel, and that is found CMDA Student Life at YouTube, and we have all of these audio podcasts in a video version right there for you. And to keep up with the latest information and resources, you just need to have the Student Life app. If you haven't done so, download it. You can get it on your smartphone. The app is for both the Android and the Apple, and that will keep you up to date with not only the most important information, but resources that'll be right in your pocket. Devotions every Monday and Thursday come out on the app, as well as group Bible studies, and the Student Pulse podcast is found on the app as well. So check that out if you haven't done so already. Download the app, set up a profile, and you'll stay connected with CMDA. And as always, you can follow and like us on all of our socials. We're on the Instagram, the Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter, finding us at our handle, CMDA Student Life. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye now.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse Podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.